is important, the blood and the cross, because really, it's the foundation of what we believe. And you want to know, as a believer, you want to know what you believe and why you believe it. It's not some cliche thing. We talk about the blood, or what does that mean? And the cross, well, what does it all look like? We need to know very strongly what it's all about biblically, because that's the foundation of all that we do believe. So over these few weeks, we're trying to make sure that we get a picture of the power that's in the blood of Jesus and the power that's in the completed work of the cross. And if you can get the revelation of this, it will change your life, not just to be forgiven, but empowered to do what God says to do. And tonight I want to do the second part of my theme of more than forgiven. A couple of weeks back, I did a message and on the difference between the blood and the cross. I want to just bring that to an end tonight in part two. And if you remember, we said things like this, that the blood deals with our sins, while the cross deals with the sinner. The blood deals with what we do, but the cross deals with who we are. Blood gives us access to God. It says you can come close to God by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross opens the veil of the mystery of life and opens up the heavens so you and I can meet with a holy God. The blood of Jesus allows us to come close to God. But the cross was given so we have access not just to God, but access to His authority and His power. Blood was given for forgiveness and salvation, but the cross was given for deliverance and freedom. Last time we spoke, we realized we were sinners. Remember, I used the word sinners a lot, and the word sin a lot. And tonight will probably be the same thing. It's in context with where we're going, so I preempted those two words will be used a lot in this particular message. And we realized that we were sinners, and not because of our actions, but we were born into sin. We came through Adam and we're sinners because of our heritage. We sin because we are born as sinners, and sinners sin. It's not your actions that define you, it's your heritage that causes us to become a sinner. It's not because we do wrong things, it's because of a wrong nature. We come from a wrong family, and because of that wrong family, we act in sin situations. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5. And again, this is probably the clearest passage of Scripture in the Bible about this whole framework of what we're talking about. It says this, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the other one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also with one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Wherever the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, Adam was the first man and he sinned. And we, all of us, everyone, me, you, everybody, all of humanity, hadn't even been born yet, were all in Adam when he sinned. He was the first person. If Adam had not reproduced, none of us would be here now. We were all in Adam at the time that he sinned. As you were in your father, if your father had not reproduced, you would not be here now. You were in your father, and your father was in his father, and his father was in his father, and his father was in his father, and his father, all the way back to the place where everybody was in Adam at the beginning. Everybody, every person who would ever be born was in Adam. So when Adam sinned, we were a part of that sin, by the very nature that we were all in Adam. When he sinned, we were all there. We're all part of it. We were part, no choice. We didn't want it. It just is. Just like you didn't choose your family, you were just born into it. There was no choice, and we were all in Adam in the day that he sinned. Can I do one more dad joke? We like last one. Yeah, we can do one more. God says to Adam, he says, "Adam," he says, "you're looking pretty lonely, man. I'm going to give you a companion. I'm going to make you a woman. But it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a rib. You okay with that? It's going to cost you a rib. Adam says, all right, I need a companion. I can deal with that. So God puts him to sleep, pulls a rib out of his side, the Bible says, and out of that rib, a woman appears. God wakes him up from his sleep, and Adam sees her, and he's overwhelmed. Wow, she's pretty hot. Yeah, I like the look of that. That's pretty cool. And then he says, but is there an upgraded model? I mean, is there a top-of-the-line version I could get? I mean, I like her. She's good. But is there just that top-shelf model I could get? And God says, well, there is, Adam. But it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. See, we are sinners not because we sin, but because we're born into a fallen planet with imperfect heritage. Is it? I can't say that anymore. I can't use that one. That was an 80s joke. Not doing that one. Would you like to hear that one? No one get mad at me, all right? This is not a sexist joke. It might sound sexist, but it's not. Will I do it? Yeah. Ladies, will I do it? Is it okay? Because it's not sexist. You win in the end. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Adam wakes up and says, she's beautiful. And God says, yeah, Adam, I made it that way so you'd love her. He gets really brave and he goes over and he rubs her arms. Oh! She feels good. And says, yeah, God says, yeah, I made it that way, Adam, so you love her. Then she opened her mouth. You already said it'd be okay. And Adam says, God, she's stupid. Wait for it. And God says, yeah, Adam, I made it that way so she'd love you. Is that a sexist joke? No, it's sexist. See, our freedom comes not by trying harder to do what is right, but realizing we need to deal with the thing that causes us to sin, our heritage, our sinful nature. We are mistaken to think that we can rectify our actions without first dealing with the cause. It's a mistake to think you can stop sinning or stop going in the wrong direction just by saying, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. To change the outside without dealing with the inside will always bring tragedy and heartache. Our mistake is to concentrate on doing the right thing rather than becoming the right person. You see, if you try and do the right thing, even though it's good intentions, it really doesn't work. You can try to please God. But that becomes, you don't know what I'm sacrificing for you. You can try to be more caring. Try to be more caring. But that becomes, you don't know what I have to put up with. You can try to get more involved in the purposes of God. I'm going to try harder. But that becomes, do you know how much I do for you? In other words, if we don't deal with the cause of our problem, we accentuate it. To our dismay, we realize the more we try out of our own strength, the more we realize this isn't working. There has to be another way. And if you've been a believer a little while, you'll get to a point where you've tried and you're going to do this and you're going to pray more and you're going to read the Bible more and you're going to change here and you're going to change there. And it's all trying so hard. But the issue is not about our trying harder. It's about realizing that we need to fix the root cause of our problem. And that's not our dilemma in the sense of that God can do this. It's not about us trying more. It's about finding the other way. There is another way than trying hard to be a good Christian. Freedom and deliverance comes to those that accept and realize by faith what has happened on the cross of Calvary. There is another way. There's always another way. This guy was fishing and he's catching no fish. So he got sick of it. So he went down the store and bought a bunch of dynamite. Started lighting dynamite, throwing them into the lake. All these dead fish. And he says, this is fishing. See, there's always another way. He threw the dynamite, the dead fish came up. As a matter of fact, the police started to hear these sounds of dynamite going off. So they went to investigate. They pulled up and they saw this guy lighting dynamite, throwing it into the lake, and then catching all the fish. The policeman gets out of his car, rushes over and says, man, you're in serious trouble. I mean, you can't do that. That's illegal to do that. You're in big trouble. This fisherman leans into his bag of dynamite, pulls one piece out, lights it up, shoves it in the hand of the policeman, and says, you're going to write me a ticket or you're going to go fishing? There's always another way. And trying hard is not the way that God planned for us. There is another way. God has a plan, and it's all to do with what happens on the cross of Calvary and Jesus' death 2,000 years ago. We need to leave our Adam nature, get out of Adam and into Christ and take on his nature. This is the plan. This is the other way. The other way is that we don't try harder. We need to get out of Adam and into Christ. And since we came into Adam by birth, we're all in Adam, we all got born, we came that way. The only way, listen to this, the only way out of Adam is death. The only way out of Adam is death. Our problem is our sin nature, it's our heritage, it's our family we've come from. We were born into that family, and the way, only way out of that family is not to leave that family, it's not try and change your name. It's actually the only way out is to die. You know, believers throughout history have tried to kill themselves. Not literally suicide, but try and kill their old nature. And if you read history through biblical times, you'll see that people put laws and they put restrictions on their life. They put vows of poverty and they put vows of severity and no possessions, even self-harm. And they were trying to kill their old man. But it was not that way that God was good. There was another way. To no avail, they found it didn't work. And then it comes to a place that the other way is at a cross. It's death by crucifixion. Our way into Christ is to leave the family of Adam. And the way we leave the family of Adam is by death. A crucifixion must take place in our lives. As a matter of fact, the attendants will start handing out nails in a minute. 3 nails per person. And we'll start with the back rows. Now, the good news is there's another way. It's not by your death, it's by his death. You don't have to crucify it. He has been crucified. There's another way, and it's in the crucifixion of Christ. It's not our death, but it's in the death of Jesus, the cross. John 3, verses 3 through 6, and I have to get this up because it doesn't come up on the screen, or part of it does, but it says this. Jesus answered and said to this guy, Nicodemus, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So what Jesus is saying to us is this, that the way in to God's family is that we get born again into the spiritual family of God. Nicodemus gets worried and says, well, you know, what does that mean? I can't go back into my mother's womb. But he wasn't talking about a natural birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. We need, what you and I need is a spiritual birth into God's family. We need to leave the Adams family and get into God's family. We need to, and the way we do that is by being born again. But the dilemma of being born again is that you need to die before you're born again. So something has to happen before we're able to be born again, and that's the death on a cross. And let's have a look at this. It all transpires in Romans chapter 6, verse 5 through 11. It says this, for we have been united together in the likeness of his death, Jesus. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. I want you to hear something here tonight, because most of our theology is based around the concept that Christ died instead of us. The truth is, not only did Christ die instead of us, we actually died with Him on that cross 2,000 years ago. That's how we get out of Adam's family, is by death. We can't be born unless you first die. The only way you can die is to be in Christ at the time of His death. Together in the likeness of His death, certainly we should also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, if we died in Christ, if we died with Christ, not Him instead of us, but with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, He dies no more. Death has no longer dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once and for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, I want you to hear this. Likewise, you, me, everybody, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to reckon ourselves. You see, as God put us all into Adam at the beginning, we're all in Adam when He sinned. God put us into Adam. God also put us into Christ. So when He died, we all died with Him. And while we died with Him, then when He rose again from the dead, because we were in Him, we rose in Him again from the dead. So new life is available because we were in Christ when He died, and we were in Christ when He rose again from the dead. God put us all in there knowing that this is the only way that we could leave the Adam's family and end up in the Christ family. In Adam, so we could have a natural life. He put us in Adam so we could have a natural life. Then He put us in Christ so we could have a spiritual and eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 says this. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. But the last Adam, which is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. See, this is how we are born twice. Born once through Adam, we're all in Adam. When he sinned, therefore we're sinners. But then we're all in Christ, and Christ was not the first Adam, He was the last Adam, and became a life-giving spirit. See, when you're in something, whatever happens to that something happens to you. If you're already in it, whatever happens to it, if I've got this bit of paper and I stick all my bits and pieces in this bit of paper, so I got my bit of paper with all these other bits of paper in it, it doesn't matter what I do to this bit of paper, whatever's inside it, the same thing happens to it. If I burn it, it all gets burned. If I crunch it up, it all gets crunched up. I'm not gonna crunch it up or burn it because it's my notes for the message. But the point is that in that place, whatever's in it, the same thing happens to it. So not only did Jesus die instead of us, but more completely, we died, our old sin nature died in Him and with Him. Our Adam heritage was crushed and killed at the cross. See, there wasn't enough for Jesus to bleed for us, He had to die for us, because in Him was our old nature that had to die so we could be born again into the spiritual realm and have eternal life. It was more than the blood, it was the cross of Calvary that brought this redemption to humankind. Our Adam heritage was crushed and killed on the cross. So now being dead, we can be born again. If we weren't in Him when He died, we could not die with Him. We can never leave our Adam heritage. If we weren't in Him in His resurrection, we could never have had the newness of life that He promised. We were put in Adam to have a natural life, and we were put in Christ to have an eternal life. Yeah, the situation was we had to get out of the Adam's family and into the Christ family. The cross of Calvary was for that purpose. So when we reflect upon this instrument of torture and pain, it's in that death that allows us to have new life. It's in that death, that cross, the whole concept we glorify, but it's not death for us, it's death for Him that we may have new life out of that. So even though it was an instrument of torture and pain and death for Jesus, It was the very instrument that gave us the hope of new life, because we were in him when he died, and then we are in him when he got resurrected from the dead. God didn't leave it up to us to find our way into him. He didn't, well, how do I get into Christ? How does a human being get into the God family? How does that all happen, man? I don't know why. No, he did it. He put us all in Christ. Every human being that has ever been born was in Christ when he died on that cross. Every human being that was ever be born was in Christ when he rose again from the dead. Because if he wasn't in him, he would have no chance of being born again into a spirit life. Christ put us in, God put us in Christ. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus. But because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. But of God, you didn't have to force your way in. You didn't have to make your way in. You didn't have to try to get your way in. You're already in because God put every one of us in there. But of him, you're in Christ Jesus. No choice. All of humanity died with Christ and all rose in the resurrection. Everybody, it's done. Good news, we're in. Good news, every one of you are in. Did I make it? Yes, you're in. Did I get in? Yes, you're in. Every human being is in. Salvation and deliverance now come to those who accept this truth and believe upon him. That's where faith is. Faith is not that you've done something. Faith is acknowledging that he has already done something. Faith is responding to what took place, not trying to get our way into God. How do I make, you know, friends with God? It's accepting by faith what took place on the cross of Calvary. It's all done. Our faith releases the power of shed blood and the work of the cross. The answer to our dilemma is not to try harder. It's a belief. It's a reckoning. It's a revelation that it's all been done. It's by faith. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't talking about the end of his life. He was saying to God, "It is done. All that needs to happen for humankind has now taken place. Nothing more needs to happen. It is a finished work, and anybody that believes upon me shall have eternal life, shall be born again, shall have newness of life." It's not working at it, it's just believing on what took place. You got to accept it. You don't have to die. You don't have to put laws and rules around your life. You're already dead, for goodness sake. Imagine getting a frozen chicken out of the freezer and trying to kill it. Just pull that chicken out, that frozen one. Hey, let's kill it. You can't. It's already dead. And we still have too many believers who are like the chicken that have already died in Christ, but now they're trying to kill themselves to make it look good for God and themselves. They're trying not to sin more because they're trying to be nice to God. But the point is, it's not about trying harder. It's about accepting our place. I remember the story of this missionary guy who lived in Papua New Guinea a number of years back. And they were going out for something or other. And they said to one of the helpers, the young boy there, and he said, "Look, I want you to kill a chicken for us and pluck it and stick it in the fridge so when we get home, we'll have something to eat for lunch." So eventually the family gets home and the missionary opens up his fridge and there's this live plucked chicken sitting in the fridge shivering. Just shivering. And he called the boy over and said, "Hey, what? I said, I should have killed the thing and then pluck it and then put it in the fridge." He said, "Yes, sir, that's what I did. I kill him, I pluck him and stick him in the fridge." I said, no, he's not dead, he's still alive." He said, "But see, what the missionary didn't realize that in pidgin English, kill him doesn't mean kill him dead. It means punch, slap, or beat up." So the boy said, "Yes, sir, I slapped him, I punched him, then I plucked him and stuck him in the fridge. If you want the chicken dead, you've got to say, I want to kill him dead." You can't kill a chicken that's already dead. You don't want to try hard in your life to kill something that's not alive. You want to accept by faith the wonder and the grace and the power of what God has done by putting us already in Christ. Every one of us, we've been put there, every human being, whether you accept it or not. You can go through your whole life and not accept that truth. But it doesn't change the fact that you were in Christ when he died. It doesn't change the fact that you were in Christ when he resurrected from the dead. Every human being was placed in there. So when Jesus went to the cross, he took all of our sicknesses, all of our infirmities. He took all the sin of humanity on him. He took it all from every person, absorbed it. We didn't have to fight our way in. We didn't have to try hard to get in. We're already in. Don't keep trying to die, to make you feel like you're getting through. Accept your death at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And enjoy your new life, for surely we are born again. Surely we are children of the Most High King. I'm set free from my old nature, my sin nature. My position has changed. My past is redeemed. So it's at the cross. God has made a way to take us out of Adam and get us into Christ. Be glad that he loved every one of us so much that he would not leave one person out. That we're all in Adam, but Adam messed. Sin came in, but God's plan always had a plan. God always had a plan, and he put us all in Christ to die. Our death would take us out of Adam's family, and his resurrection would take us into the new place that he had for us. It's at the cross that God has made a way to take us out of Adam and into Christ. Today, you can receive your future, your new life, by believing upon him and what he's done for you. You see, it doesn't matter. See, there are bad sinners in the world and there are good sinners, but we're all sinners. Why? Not because of our actions, but because of our heritage. And today, God doesn't get angry at you because you did wrong stuff. He doesn't get mad at you. His heart's outstretched towards every one of us. His arms were outstretched 2,000 years ago, and that stance hasn't changed. He's welcoming all of his creation because he died for all people. Today you can receive your future, not a natural life, but a spiritual life, an eternal life, by believing upon him and what he's done for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe?" The power of salvation and eternal life and life abundant not comes out of doing something, it comes out of believing something. "According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come." Jesus is above every single thing. That life that resurrected him is the same that resurrects us. It's a spiritual power that takes us into our future.